going to get up. I'm going to share a little bit before we actually get into the message, and then Pastor's going to come, and he's going to take an offering for us here in the next few minutes. You might be saying, well, I don't like taking an offering, you know, before I hear you preach. I want to hear whether you stink or not. Well, I want to trust that you're just going to trust God, because this is the whole thing why we do this right now. I don't want to do it at the end of the service, because I don't want to mess with what God does at the end of the altar, at the altar call this morning. Amen. So that's why we're doing this morning. And, you know, I've had many pastors tell me, you know, you're going to mess up your offering if you do that. Well, listen, I'd rather mess up my offering than mess up what God's going to do here today. Come on now. Come on now. Amen. So I just want to share with you a little bit about what we've been seeing happen on the road and what I'm expecting to see happen here this morning. We've just been seeing people come to the altars and just pressing in, seeking the face of God to where they don't want to ever leave. Have you ever been in the presence of God where you never wanted to leave? Come on. I believe that kind of stuff's going to happen here this morning. Amen. We've seen people come, and we'll see them press in till 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and then have to come back for 6 o'clock that night. Now, some of you might say, I sure hope that doesn't happen because I'm hungry. Come on, how many are more hungry for the presence of God this morning than they are for food? Come on. But we've just been seeing people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We'll see anywhere from 10, 20, even up to 50, 60 people come to the altars to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the physical evidence of speaking in tongues and not one person walking away without getting it. Come on, how many know that's some Book of Acts stuff? How many are ready to see the Book of Acts break out here at Emmanuel Assembly of God this morning? Come on. I believe God wants to fill people with the Spirit of God this morning. And let them receive that prayer language. Let them receive that power to be able to be an effective witness in the body of Christ. Amen. But some of the stuff that's near and dear to Laura and I's heart is all the healing testimonies we've seen. If you could just bring my mic down just a little bit. Some of the stuff that we've been seeing, we've literally seen hundreds and hundreds of people instantly healed. And I'm talking from blind eyes, deaf ears, breast cancer just being completely dissolved. I'm talking, this is the kind of stuff we're seeing on a weekly basis. And I believe that this week is no different than any other week. I believe God wants to see people walking around made well, made whole in here this morning. I want to share some healing testimonies with you. Is that all right? I'd love to share all of them with you, but I'm just going to share about two or three of them with you real quick. A few months back in April, my wife and I, we were preaching in Erie, Pennsylvania. And while we were there, we had met this young lady. She came to the altar, and by the time we got to pray for her, it was 3 o'clock that afternoon. And she had told me that she was taking chemo, radiation treatment. She had cancer in her brain, and she had these large tumors about the size of golf balls. She had two in the back of her head right here, and she had one on her front right side of her forehead. And we prayed for her, and she had told me, I stopped taking my chemo treatments. I'm just planning on dying. There's nothing else they said they can do for me. So we prayed for her at 3 o'clock, and I put my hand on her. Those things were protruding out of her head. They were the size of golf balls. She comes back 3 hours later at the 6 o'clock service, and they were completely gone. Come on now. And you could see you could see where her head was shaved and the skin where it was, and now they're no longer there. I just talked to the pastor of that church last week. He says she's still walking around. The tumors are gone. Hair's starting to grow back in. Come on, how many know that God can do stuff like that this morning? Either say amen or oh me. Come on. See, you can't change my mind that God can't heal anymore. Amen. You can't change my mind. I know that he can do this stuff. We were out in Ohio, and a lady was standing in the prayer line, and I walked up to her, and I said, you have a lump underneath your left arm. And she said, who told you that? And I said, who do you think? And we started praying with her, and she stuck her hand up underneath there. She says, I feel it going away. And about 2 days later, the pastor of that church called me up. He said she had gone to the doctors. They had just found out she had breast cancer like 2 weeks prior. She didn't go through any treatments yet or nothing. The doctor said, I know you had breast cancer when you were here 2-3 weeks ago, but I can't find any traces of you ever having breast cancer. Come on, how many know he can do stuff like that this morning? Come on. Laura and I, we were out in Columbus, Ohio in June, and there was a young man. He was legally blind in his right eye, and God opened it up like that. Come on, how many know he can do stuff like this morning? I was praying for a guy in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. He walked up to us at the altar, and he said he wanted me to pray for him, but he didn't tell me what he wanted me to pray about. So I just told him, just repeat this with me. Say, by his stripes you are healed. He goes, what? I said, say, by his stripes you are healed. He goes, ha! And the pastor said, I forgot to tell you, he's deaf. We prayed for this guy, and his ears opened up. I had him go to the back of the sanctuary, turn around, so I knew he wasn't reading my lips, and he was able to repeat back everything I said to him. Come on, how many know God can do stuff like that this morning? Oh, I want to share one more with you, okay? This is one of those ones where you just can't believe what your eyes have seen. Do you ever see anything like that where God just did something and you're like, man, I can't believe what my eyes just saw? My wife and I, we were at a church in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and there was a guy there named Joe, and Joe's foot had fell off its ankle 29 years ago, and it just hung there, and he just dragged it around. And the doctor wanted to amputate it and put on a prosthetic, and he would never let him do it. And he had x-rays out in his truck to show us all this stuff. And he's sitting there in a chair, and we start praying for this guy, and we watch his foot just go pop back on the ankle, and he gets up and starts walking around on it. And, like, everybody's taking pictures of it, because they all knew that this guy, like, he'd gone to church there for a long time. They knew that he was the guy that dragged his foot around, and now he's walking on it. Well, how many know that God can do stuff like that this morning? He ended up sending me a letter about a month later. He became a partner with us, and he said, after 29 years of dragging my foot around, I'm learning how to walk on it all over again. And I saw his pastor about 6 months later after that at a district council meeting. I said, hey, how's Joe doing? We tell his story everywhere we go. And he told me he joined a bowling league because he can stand on 2 feet now. Come on. How many know God can do stuff like this morning? Listen, in a few minutes, Pastor's going to come forward. He's going to take up this offering for us. Like I said, I don't want to mess with what God does around the altar here this morning. I believe he wants to do stuff like what I just talked about. I believe he wants to do that kind of stuff here this morning. And I don't want to mess with that. So I want to ask you this morning, what you sow into this ministry, this helps us keep on going. We're going to be going to Virginia here in a couple weeks, Roaring Springs next week. Every place we go, you help us go. Amen. So we just want to thank you for sowing into us this morning, for having us this morning. There is a table out there. There will be somebody running our table at the end of the service. We have a few books out there, a book on healing. We have about 15 CDs out there. We also have these little thumb drives out there that have all the messages out there on CD, but they're all on a thumb drive. And, you know, all the prices and all that is out there. And you can take a look at that on your way out this morning. But I want to thank you for having us. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Jason.
Well, if we could have the ushers come forward, please. And to me, this is like sowing into missions. We have missionaries come. We want to partner with them as they bring the gospel. This is no different. It's no different. We're partnering in the gospel of Jesus, the power of the gospel of Jesus, right here in our own state, in our own region. Just going to trust that God is going to do a work, not only here, but through this offering and through their wonderful ministry from here on out. Amen. So join with me as we pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, not only to receive today what you have for us, and Lord, again, give us eyes that see and ears that hear all that you would be speaking. May our faith be kindled here this morning as we hear your word, as your spirit is moving. And Father, we pray that you would also use all of these funds that we're going to give to pour into our brother and sister, into their ministry. We pray that you would help us to be liberal with it, Lord, and that you would use it to further your power. And in doing, furthering your kingdom here through their ministry in Pennsylvania, Virginia, wherever it is you may be sending them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
There is nothing in this world.
Well, this morning, God had laid a couple different things on my heart that I felt like talking about. I originally came in here with one message in my heart, and then I heard Brother Josh, right? He got up and he started talking about having an encounter with God. I was like, oh no, should I change my message? You know? And then I said, no, I'm going to go back to where God originally led me to go. We're going to be talking about the fire of God this morning. Come on. How many want to see the fire of God show up in your life this morning, in your church? Do you know that the fire of God will become contagious? If you got it, other people are going to see it, and they're going to want it too. Amen? They're going to be putting some scripture verses up here on the wall for us. If you guys could just go ahead and cue that up and get that ready. And while they're doing that, I want to read something to you. How many of you have ever heard of a man named William Booth? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of William Booth. If you've never heard of William Booth, he was the man who started the Salvation Army. How many of you have ever heard of the Salvation Army? Come on, we've all heard of the Salvation Army, right? Well, he wrote a song over 100 years ago. It's probably about 135, 140 years ago now. And it was a song called Send the Fire. And I believe that what William Booth wrote over 100 years ago is still should be prevalent in the church today. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read a few of these lyrics to you. Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Do you know the fire of God will burn a cleansing flame in you this morning? He says, your blood-bought gift today we claim, send the fire today. Look down and see this waiting host. How many people do I have waiting for the Holy Ghost to show up this morning? Come on. He says, look down and see this waiting host and send the promised Holy Ghost. We need another Pentecost. Send the fire today. You know, how many know that we need another Pentecost to happen in our Assembly of God churches again? Come on. Well, we need a fresh Pentecost in our churches again. A fresh move of God's Spirit. A fresh wave of His Spirit. It goes on and says, oh God of Elijah, hear our cry, send the fire. Make us fit to live or die, send the fire today. To burn up every trace of sin, to bring the light and the glory in, send the fire today. It's fire we want, it's fire we need, send the fire. The fire will meet our every need, send the fire today. For strength to always do what's right, and for grace to conquer in the fight, to walk this world in white, send the fire today. My friends, I believe that what William Booth had asked for from God over 100 years ago is what the church is in need of today. We need the fresh fire of God to fall in our lives personally, in our church, in our community. Amen? So we're going to be talking about the fire of God this morning. Take a look at this first verse here. We're going to be over in Leviticus, and they're going to put it up on the wall here. Look at Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8 through 13. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth of the altar all night until morning, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garments, and his linen trousers he shall put on his body, and take the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on his other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. Verse 13, a fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. I want to tell you, my friends, that I believe that the sad reality is today that we have allowed the fire of God to go out in our lives. Come on. Maybe it once burned brighter than what it is right now, but maybe it's not burning as bright. My friends, I believe that God can reignite that passion in you this morning. He can reignite that spark, that fire that once burned a long time ago, and keep it going. Do you know it's God's desire never to let the fire of God to go out in your life? It's never been his desire. I want you to notice here that three times God told Moses, don't let the fire go out. Please put that back up for me, please. Don't let the fire go out. Don't let the fire go out. And in verse 13, he said, the fire shall always, say always with me, always be burning, it shall not go out. But the sad reality is that sometimes we allow the fire of God to go out. Right? We've allowed the fire to go out. We've not allowed it to be burning like it once did. I want to tell you this morning, God wants the fire of God burning inside your life, consuming you to where you are so on fire for him, you don't want to do anything else but walk and serve him this morning. Come on. Now, I want you to notice here, he said, take off your garments, put on these garments, take out the ashes to the camp, put on these clean, and it was like a process that he had to keep doing. Did you notice that? Do this, do that, keep this fire burning, take the ashes outside, put on these garments, take off those garments. And I want to tell you, I noticed something when I was reading this one day. I believe this. There is a process that we have to go through to get the fire burning in our lives and to keep it burning in our lives. Come on. How many are ready to go through the process of getting the fire going in your life and keep it going this morning? Do you know that's what God wants this morning? He wants the fire burning to where it never goes out. Come on. How many know God doesn't want the fire getting snuffed out in your life this morning? He wants that thing burning bigger and brighter than it ever has. Amen. Take a look at this next one. I want you to notice that anytime fire of God shows up, there's always strange fire that shows up with it. Now listen, I don't want no strange fire this morning. I want the real, true, genuine fire of God. How many want the true, genuine fire of God? I don't want no strange stuff. I want the real stuff. Now look what happens here in Leviticus chapter 9. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord. Now I want to stop there real quick. Where did the fire come from? From the presence of God. Let me ask you this morning. If you're not on fire for God, maybe you're not in the presence of God enough. Come on now. Oh, come on. Come on now. If you are not on fire for God, if you're not on fire for Jesus, if you're not out winning souls, if you're not out being a prayer warrior, I want to ask you how much time you spend in his presence. Come on. I can hear those toes curling up right now. I want to tell you, my friends, the more you're in the presence of God, the more on fire for God you will be. Now, I want you to notice something here. It says, when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Now, I want you to see something throughout this message. Every time the fire of God falls, the glory of God shows up. Come on now. Every time the fire of God shows up, the glory of God shows up with it. They work hand in hand. So whenever we receive the fire of God, the glory shows up with it. Now, look what it goes on and says. And it consumed the burnt offering, the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell on their faces. Do you know what the automatic response should be of the church when God shows up in the house? Is to praise God, amen? Should shout for joy. Come on. Have you ever been in a church and you didn't see people shouting and God was moving? You're like, what in the world's going on? Come on. How many know that there should be praise, there should be worship when the presence of God shows up and the glory of God shows up? That should be our automatic response, is to give him glory, to give him praise, to honor him. Amen? Now notice, this is Leviticus chapter 9. Take a look at Leviticus chapter 10. Go to the next one. Now, some Bible scholars teach and believe that this only happened within 3 minutes. Do you know a lot can happen in 3 minutes? God can show up powerfully, Pastor. The glory of God can come, the fire of God can fall, the people can begin to praise God, and there will always be somebody with strange fire that will come mess it up. Come on now. Now look what happens here. Aaron's sons took their censer, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered up unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died there. Now listen, I've had pastors tell me I'd rather have a little strange fire than no fire at all. Now I sit on the fence with that. I know sometimes strange fire is going to show up. I understand that. But it has to be dealt with sometimes too. If you are going to want the true, genuine fire of God, you're going to have to understand that strange fire has to be dealt with also. You might say, what does strange fire look like? Well, you'll know strange fire when you see it. Now, I want to tell you, I've seen people where they've shaken under the power of God. They go down under the presence of God. They might have this moaning and groaning going on inside their spirits. I have no problems with that. I'll tell you when you can see strange fire. I was at a church one time and I was preaching. And there was complete pandemonium at the altar. I'm talking, you couldn't tell what in the world was going on. And there was a lady in the church that was going around and she was face-palming people. She was just going around, just going. And they were getting stunned and you knew that, you know, nobody was going down in the presence of God or anything. They were just getting stunned like this. And I saw her walk up to a young girl in her 30s or 40s, and she walked up to her and said, listen, God told me to tell you this morning that you've never had a child, and you're going to have one right now. And she had her get down on the ground and go through all the motions of childbearing with noises and everything. That's strange fire, my friends. Amen. Pastor Jason, I promise you there's not going to be any spiritual birthing here this morning. But you'll know strange fire when you see it, amen? Come on. Look at this next one. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. We all know this. Let's say this all out loud. For our God is a consuming fire. You know what boggles my mind? God, who is a consuming fire, lives on the inside of me, and I'm not burned up at the same time. Doesn't that just boggle your mind? How many of you have ever heard of something called spontaneous combustion before? Where somebody catches on fire from the inside out and all you find is like a pair of tennis shoes or something. You know, technically that is how we should be because we have the Almighty living God living on the inside of us and we are not burned up at the same time. Come on now. Do you know you have God, Almighty God, who's a consuming fire? The fire of God living on the inside of you this morning. Come on. Look at this next one here. Exodus 24, verse 17. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire. Now, God was in that consuming fire. On the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Now, I want you to notice there, it says, the sight of the glory of the Lord. Remember, every time the fire of God shows up, the glory shows up with it. That word glory, if you was to look it up in the Hebrew, it is a word called kabod. How many of you have ever heard the word kabod before? Kabod means a heavy, weighty presence that comes all over you where you're just like weighed down with the presence of God and you know that you know that you know you've just had a glory encounter with God. Do you know that that's what the presence of God should feel like? That heavy, weighty presence, that glory, that kabod presence comes over you. Look what he goes on and says, the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of children of Israel. In other words, everyone there that day was able to experience the glory and the fire of God. Do you know there's not one person in here this morning should walk out not experiencing the glory and the fire of God for themselves this morning? God wants you to experience, each and every one of you, if you've made Emmanuel Assembly of God your church, he wants to set you on fire this morning for him. Look at this next one. Let me ask you, how many of you have any enemies in here this morning? Anybody have any enemies? Huh? Come on. Do you know that God will take care of your enemies when you walk in the fire of God? Look at this. Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he went up to him, and there he was sitting on the top of a hill. And he spoke to him, man of God, the king has said, come down. So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I'm a man of God, then let the fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Go on. Then he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, Man of God, thus said the king, come down quickly. So Elijah answered to him, If I am a man of God, let the fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. How many know the fire of God is on your side? Amen. Look at this next one, verse 13. Again, he sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men. I want to stop there real quick. How many of you know that your enemies are stupid? You think after two times fire falling from the sky, these guys would get it. At least this guy was a little bit smarter. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him. And he said to him, Man of God, please let the life of these 50 servants be precious in your sight. Do you know what will happen sometimes? Your enemies will see the fire of God in your life. And they'll ask God that you would plead for them on their behalf to God. Do you know that your enemies should be depending on you, that God would have mercy on them? Come on. Come on now. Maybe you might be sitting here this morning and say, I just don't understand. People are always on my case. What's going on? Maybe people see that they can mess with you. Come on, I'll tell you what. If you had the fire of God like Elijah, people won't be messing with you. Come on. How many know God will always, always answer by fire? Do you remember when Elijah went up against the prophets of Baal, the 300 prophets of Baal? And he said, the real God will answer by fire. He'll always answer by fire. But the question is, do people see the fire of God in your life this morning? See, that's the point we need to get to, is where people actually see the fire of God in your life. So we see God will take care of our enemies if we're walking in the fire of God. Look at this next one. Go one more. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. The fire of God will bring us a fresh revelation. How many want a fresh revelation of who God is this morning? Come on, how many want a fresh revelation of who he is? A fresh knowledge, a fresh understanding of who God is. If you walk in the fire of God, it will bring you that fresh revelation, that fresh knowledge of who he is. Look what happens here. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month of the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord fell upon me there. How many know that the hand of God wants to fall on people and start using them? Just like Ezekiel. You know, you can't be used unless the hand of God comes upon you. Amen. Look what happens here. The hand of God fell upon me there. Then I looked, and there was likeness like the appearance of fire, and from his appearance and his waist and downward fire, and from his waist and upward like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. How many know that he's talking about the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ here? How many know that before Jesus even showed up on the scene in the flesh, he showed himself in the Old Testament. And look what he says. He says he saw this man and he was on pretty much like on fire. From his waist and upward, from down his waistward, it was like the appearance of fire. How many know what the Bible says over in Revelation chapter 2 when John saw Jesus in the book of Revelation? He says his eyes were flaming like what? Come on, how many know that when we see Jesus Christ as a consuming fire, it's only because God is that consuming fire? See, Galatians chapter 3 tells us that Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God. So when we see God as that consuming fire, we should see Jesus Christ as that consuming fire in our lives. Look what it goes on and says. The Spirit lifted me up. It says, He stretched out a form of a hand and took me by the lock of my hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heavens and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court. It says here, the Spirit lifted me up. Do you know God wants to take you up higher than where you're at this morning? Well, now I'm going to say that again because I don't think some of you got that. God wants to take you up higher than where you're at. Do you know God is never happy with us staying right where we're at in life, right in our walk with Him? He wants to take us up higher. My friends, if we would just let the fire of God come and consume our lives this morning, He would take us up higher than where we're at right now. The only reason we're not going up higher this morning is because we won't let the fire of God come into our lives and consume us. Look what he says. He stretched out the form of a hand and he took me by the locks of my hair. How many of you, when you were younger, your mother or dad used to grab you up by the back of the neck when you were goofing off? Come on. Maybe the Holy Ghost needs to get in here this morning and grab some people up by the back of the neck so they can get on track and start moving in the direction God has for them this morning. What he says, and the Spirit of the Lord lifted me between the heavens and the earth and showed me visions of God. Listen, my friends, God needs to take us up higher. If you want to stay in the valley, you'll never get a fresh revelation of who God is this morning. But if you let him take you up higher this morning, how many are willing to go higher with him this morning? Come on. Amen. If you're willing to go higher with him this morning, he's willing to take you higher this morning. It says he brought me into visions of God. When God takes us higher this morning, when he takes us up higher than where we can go, he'll give us a fresh revelation, a fresh knowledge, a fresh vision of who God is in our lives. Do you know that's what we need? We need to have a fresh vision of who God really is in our lives. And the other way we can get that is if we have the fire of God come and consume us and take us over this morning. Look at the next one. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Another thing that the fire of God will do is take care of our sin problem. Ooh. Sin. You know, sin's like a dirty word in the church now. Come on now. Come on now. You know, I've been in churches before where they don't even talk about sin. I want to tell you, my friends, God will take care of your sin problem this morning if you have one. Listen to what it says here. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi here is talking about the first coming of Jesus Christ. But how many know that he's coming back again? Come on, I said, how many know that he's coming back again? And I want to tell you, we don't have a whole lot more time. He's coming back quickly. Quickly, my friends. He's coming back sooner than what you think he's doing. And he's coming back for a spotless and blameless bride, the Bible says. That's what he's coming back for. That's why we need to get the fire of God in our lives, burning and consuming and getting out every inch of sin that has been holding us back and crippling us under fear. Look what it goes on and says. Go to the next one. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? It's going to be a bride who has been made spotless and blameless, my friends. Look what it goes on and says here. For he is like a refiner's fire. He's like a refiner's fire. In other words, God wants to put you in the fire a little bit and start refining you, start melding, start molding, start forming. Start chipping off the rough edges that have been holding you back from him. I mean, I know that sometimes sin has to be dealt with, amen? Aren't you glad we serve a God who we can come to and he can take care of our sin problem if we're willing to let him do it? He says he's like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. How many of you, when you were younger, your mom or dad used to stick a bar of soap in your mouth? When you had a potty mouth, huh? Maybe you had Dial put in your mouth, that big yellow bright bar of soap, or Zest, Irish Spring, that green and white stuff. I'd probably rather have Irish Spring than all the other ones. The one thing you don't want is lava soap in your mouth. That stuff's going to burn the sin right out of you. He goes on, he says, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. My friends, God wants to refine you this morning. And the fire of God will do that if you let it. You know, a lot of people, they always say that, you know, I want to quit sinning, but I just don't know how. That's the whole thing. You can't stop on your own. You need the power of God. You need the fire of God to come into your life and to help you with the stuff that you're dealing with this morning. Come on now. You can't take care of your own sin problem. Only God can. I remember when I first got saved, and I had not got the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. Before I got saved, I thought I was a pretty good guy. I don't know. I never done any drugs. I've never drank. Never smoked. I've only been with one person in my whole life. But when God found me, man, I tell you, I had a horrible mouth. And I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. I didn't have the power to witness to people. But all I ever heard was, you got to go tell people about Jesus now that you're saved. So I'd go tell people about Jesus with my dirty mouth. And I would walk up to people and I'd say, you know Jesus really, really loves you? He really, really F-bomb loves you. He F-bomb loves you. And I'd just be cussing all over the place. You know, God really has a special place for you. It's in F-bomb heaven. Come on, I would just be dropping the F-bomb everywhere. And one day I had this guy walk to me. He says, aren't you a believer? I said, yeah. He says, well, why are you cussing so much? And something clicked. I'm like, well, I guess I need to stop that too. I was still young in Christ, but didn't allow the fire of God, the power of God, to get that stuff out of my life yet. So that night I went home, I knelt down at my bed, and I stayed there for 3 or 4 hours, and I said, God, I'm not getting up here until you take this from me. And I'll tell you what, there was about 3.5, 4 hours in where I felt just the release that God took it from me. And I got up and walked away and didn't do it anymore. See, sometimes what we do is we tell God, oh, God, I want you to take this from me. I can't stop looking at pornography. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop smoking, Lord. Please take it from me. We come down here to the altar. We cry, oh, Lord, please take it from me. And we stay here for about 5 minutes, and we get back up, and we say, well, I don't feel no different. I guess God wants me to keep it. We don't ever wait for the fire of God to come and consume all that stuff, all that junk that's been holding us back in our walk with him. Well, how many know the fire of God wants to take care of our sin problem this morning? Let's take a look at this next one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. I'm going to read this in the Amplified version. That is why I would remind you to stir up. Some translations say practice. How many know we need to practice walking in the fire of God? We need to stir up the fire of God. Listen, if we are not willing to stir up the fire of God, don't expect to have the fire of God in your life. Look what he says here. That is why I remind you to stir up. Rekindle the embers of. How many of you have ever seen a charcoal stove? And what has to happen? You have to do a little bit of poking to get those coals turned over, so that you just don't see black and white anymore, but you see the inner red part of it. You know, that's the worst thing in the church. People don't like being poked. Come on now. But that's the only way to get those embers turned over. And I'll tell you what, God will come into your life and he'll do a little bit of poking this morning just to get those coals turned over. He just wants to come and he wants to just start poking you a little bit. Just a little bit of poking to get those coals turned over this morning. He just wants to do a little poke. Just get those coals turned over. How many will let him turn those coals over in your life this morning? Amen. To get those coals turned over so that that fire of God in your life is burning bigger and brighter than what it is right now. Look what he goes on and says. Rekindle the embers and fan the flame of. How many of you have ever seen a bellow before? It's just a thing where it's got two handles on it. You just pump it like this, and it, and you do that over top of the fire, and what happens to the fire? The flames get bigger and brighter, don't they? Now, you would think the elements of nature, that wind would put out fire. Wind is bad. Amen? But it's not the case. Because remember on the day of Pentecost, they heard a rushing, mighty wind. And there was some fire up in that place that day. How many know that God wants to send a fresh wind of his spirit to keep that fire burning, to keep that flame going? Amen? Look what it goes on and says, that flame and keep burning. Is that what he told Moses? Keep the fire burning? Look what he goes on and says, the gracious gift of God. Do you know the fire of God is a gracious gift that I believe the church has not been taking advantage of? Come on now. He says, a gracious gift of God, the inner fire. Where's the fire of God at this morning? It's inside you. Do you know God will require sometimes for you to experience the fire of God firsthand for yourself? You know, Moses saw the burning bush. How many remember the story of Moses with the burning bush? It says, Moses said to himself, I will go see why the bush is burning and not being consumed. And he had Moses go over and experience and witness it and examine it firsthand for himself. See, God has the inner fire, the fire of God inside you, but you have to be willing to experience it and examine it for yourself this morning. To get up from your comfort zone. See, there's going to be an altar call here in the next few minutes. And it's going to have to take you to come and want to experience everything we've been talking about with this inner fire, this fire of God this morning. Look at this next one. Luke chapter 24, verse 32. And they said to one another, did not our hearts, say it with me, burn within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Do you know in your everyday walk with Christ, when you read the word of God, your heart should be set on fire for him? You know, I have people, do you have a Bible there? You know, people, they come, they say, I read the word of God, I just can't understand it. Listen, the word of God should set you on fire for him. Every day you read it, God should be, thank you, should be opening up the scriptures to you. The word of God should become alive to you when you're on fire for him. And when you're in everyday conversation, look, it says here that they were talking with him. Do you know when you talk with Jesus every day, you should be on fire for him? And if you're not, maybe you're not having the right conversation. So see, sometimes I think people think talking to God is just, how much can you bless me today, Lord? Come on now. We should be going saying, Lord, how much do you want to set me on fire this morning for you? How much will you consume me this morning? Look at this next one. Well, first, look, go back one more. Look at what it says there. And he said to them, said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us? Listen, I don't think these guys were experiencing heartburn. I don't think they needed a Rolaids. I don't think they needed any Tums or Prilosec or Zantac. I feel that these men truly felt a genuine, tangible, Pastor Jason, fire burning inside them. See, when you have the fire of God, you'll know that you know you got it. Because you'll feel this burning deep down inside that you can't stop. You'll be so on fire from you won't care what people think or say. Come on. How many know when the fire of God comes, you're not going to need no Rolaids. You're going to feel that tangible burning inside. Amen? Look at this next one. Is not my word like a fire? Do you know when you read the word of God, it should set you on fire more for him? Come on now. How many of you, when you read the word of God, it sets you on fire? Come on, I should see every hand raised in the house. If I don't, there's a major problem. Come on now. If when you read the word of God, it should set you on fire. Come on. Set you on fire. Thank you, gentlemen, for helping me out. See, they know what it is to have fire burning inside them this morning. Amen. They want more of God. Is not my word like a fire? When we read the word, it should set us on fire for him. Look at this next one. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. You know, if we have the fire of God, we're going to want to see people come to the Lord. We're going to want to go take this message everywhere we go. But sometimes we don't. And it's because the things that go on in life we can't take. Look what it says here. This is Jeremiah speaking. Then I said, I will make no mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. How many of you have ever been there before where you said, I'm not going to tell anybody else about Jesus because I had my feelings hurt? Maybe you've had people tell you, I don't want to hear that God stuff. I don't want to hear that Jesus business. You better take those scripture verses out of your cubicle because I'm going to turn you into HR. Come on. There's been people who have dealt with that stuff. And what they end up doing is they just shrink back and they say, well, my feelings have been hurt. I'm not going to tell anybody else about Jesus. They don't want to hear about him. And we just don't tell anybody about Jesus. We just don't go take the message of the gospel to anybody anymore. You might say, oh, no, no, that's not true. That's not true. It is true. There is just a new poll that came out that said 90% of Christians who sit in the church every Sunday do not share their faith with anybody. 90%. Then we wonder why the Christian churches in America are on such a steep decline. Because nobody's sharing their faith with anybody. Oh, I see those toes just crippling back again. We don't share our faith with anybody. 90% of people in the church don't share their faith with anybody. 90%. My friends, that's staggering. That's unbelievable. You ready for the next one? 80% of people in the church have never shared their faith with anybody. 80% of people in the church have never shared their faith with anybody. Would you not say that that's sort of a problem? Come on. If we were sharing our faith with people, our churches would be jam-packed in America. Come on. Hello? Hello? Are you out there this morning with me? If we were sharing our faith, our churches would be jam-packed this morning. We would have, in a sense, what revival truly is, because people would be winning the lost at any cost this morning. They wouldn't be worried about what people are going to think about them or what people are going to say about them. They'll be out there doing it no matter what it takes this morning. Look what he goes on there and he says, then I said, I will make no mention of him. I won't speak any more in his name. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe that's you. You said, people have just ostracized me. They my whole family has pushed me aside. They tell me I'm a Jesus freak. They don't want to hear what I got to say. Maybe that's you this morning. My friends, I want to tell you, God wants to set you on fire to where you'll push through that negativity. Look what he goes on and says. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire. Come on now. He says his word. Listen, my friends, let the word of God set you on fire this morning. He says his word was in my heart like a burning fire. It was shut up in my bones. And I was weary of holding it back. And I could not. Listen, my friends, God wants to set you so on fire for him that you won't be able to contain it anymore. It's going to just be bursting out at the seams. You'll try to hold it back and you can't. That's how you know you got the fire of God in you this morning. Look at this next one. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. And the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. That word minister is supposed to be translated servants. You don't have to hold a credential card like Pastor Jason and I to be a servant, right? How many servants of God do I have in here this morning? Come on. If you're a servant of God this morning, do you know people should see the fire of God in your life? It says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. God wants to make you a flame of fire that people would be able to see it this morning. A few years back, my wife and I, we were at a minister's meeting. It was with the Pendel District here. And it was down at the Bongiorno Conference Center. And they brought an older lady in her 80s. She's an evangelist with the Assemblies of God. Her name is Martha Tennyson. How many of you have ever heard of Martha Tennyson before? Martha Tennyson, and she travels all over the U.S., all over the world, just up in her 80s, and she's just a fireball of a preacher. And she told us this story while she was there, that her friend was well up in her 90s. Just two little old ladies getting on an airplane to go preach somewhere. And when the plane had taken off, it had taken off for about a half hour, and all of a sudden the stewardess walked up to Martha Tennyson. She comes over, she puts her head down on her shoulder like this, and she says, I don't know what it is, but that little old lady that's sitting next to you makes me feel like I got to get right with God. And they led her to the Lord right there. See, it doesn't matter whether you're 10, 12, 15, 99. People should be able to see the fire of God in your life, and it should be able to change and transform their lives. Look at this next one. Shoot straight down to the bottom. He will baptize you. Say it with me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Do you know when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you get the fire of God to come with it? Now, here's something I want to ask you, though. What good is it to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God that comes with it, and not tell one person about Jesus Christ? What, just to speak in tongues? Is that the only reason we get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Is just to speak in tongues? No, but that's what we've made the Pentecostal experience about. Listen, you will receive a prayer language when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you will also receive power to be a witness. That's what Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says. You will receive power to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and throughout the ends of the earth. If you want to see people get saved this morning, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you already got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you're not telling people about Jesus, well, now you need to start doing it, because that's the whole reason you got that. Amen. Look at this next one. And we're going to stop here this morning. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. Do you know what will bring the fire of God into a place? When people are in one place in one accord. Come on now. When everybody's all on the same page. That's when the fire of God can show up. He can't show up where there's discord and no unity. Amen? So let's just go ahead and pray about that right now. Father God, I just pray right now that in order for your fire to show up this morning, I pray that those who may have a problem, who are sowing discord, where there may not be unity, I speak right now that the fire of God will come in and consume this place this morning. Make yourself known, show us your glory, send your fire. Look what it goes on and says there. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Look at the next verse, verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat on each and every one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now notice verse 3. It said that there appeared them divided tongues as a fire, and it sat on each and every one of them. I want to ask you this morning, would everybody in the house, stand to your feet right now, and would you go ahead and take your right hand and put it over your head like this. Now, everybody in the house, I want you to go ahead and give me a pageant wave. Go ahead and just give me a pageant wave just like that. If you don't know what a pageant wave is, just go ahead and look at her. She must have been in the pageant at one time. Now, go ahead and just keep on doing that pageant wave, and I want you to go ahead and look around the whole room, and I want you to watch everybody else doing it. Can you imagine on the day of Pentecost being in a room of 120 people and seeing their hair on fire? But you know what happened that day, my friends? They had the fire of God show up, and he kept moving mightily and powerfully. You know, we wonder sometimes, why don't we see the miracles that they saw in the New Testament? Maybe it's because we don't truly believe that we have the fire of God like they had. Because see, after that day, they stumbled out of the upper room and 3,000 people got saved. Because they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Brother Josh. And then the next day, they get up, they go into the temple, and they grab hold of a paralyzed man. Silver and gold, I have none, but what I have, I'm going to give you. And they lift the paralyzed man to his feet the next day. And see, they understood the power that they had when they received the fire of God. I want to ask you this morning, if you want the fire of God, God will give it to you. If you want the power of God in your life, he wants to give it to you this morning. My friends, God wants to take you deeper this morning than where you're at. And it's only up to you whether how far you want to go this morning. If you're willing to go as far with God, he'll take you as far as you want to go. But I want to tell you, anytime you look in the Old Testament, anytime the fire of God showed up, there was always a sacrifice. And man never put that fire there. God did. He says now over in Romans chapter 12 that we are now a living sacrifice. See, God wants you to say, Lord, here I am. I'm at the altar this morning. I want you to consume me. I want you to set me on fire. I want to go out and win the lost. I want to be able to get a fresh revelation of you, who you are. I want my enemies to flee from me when they're coming against me. Lord, I want everything that this evangelist has promised me this morning that will come from the fire. So I'm going to ask right now, would you just go ahead, just close your eyes and just lift your hands to him right now. And just begin worshiping him right now.